How's everybody doing? Welcome to Friday. It is Friday. My God, beautiful day in Chicago. Hopefully everybody is doing well. Everybody's enjoying themselves. Everybody has gotten out and about, stayed safe, distanced, social distanced, and all that good stuff. But we made it to Friday, and we got a big show today. Actually, we just had to do a little audible here because we've got our Blues in Chicago and Beyond report with Dave Katzman. We're going to bring him on in a second. He is on the phone today. We had a little technical problem, similar to what we had yesterday. So I don't know, maybe it's my system. Who the heck knows? But let's bring him up right now. And then, of course, right after that, we're going to have Petra Van Nous and Andy Brown. They're going to join us by Skype. Fingers crossed. All of that works out well. But before we do that, let's bring Dave up. Dave, are you there?
I am. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Hey, I am good, sir. How are you? I'm glad we can make this happen, even though we have technical difficulties. You know, we're both musicians. It's called improvisation,
yeah.
Man. That's the way we got
it.
It
is called
right?
Improv. Yeah, yeah. Blues and jazz has a lot of it. So there you go.
That's
you
right. Know. So all right. So we've got your Blues and Beyond. Blues in Chicago and Beyond report here, and
yes,
there's a lot of stuff happening. I think you've got some virtual things to announce about Chicago Blues Fest,
yeah,
and maybe some other things. So let's talk a little bit. What do you got up first?
Well, first off, you know, a lot of our efforts these days as musicians and promoters and everything is just trying to get to the audience with some sort of content and you know, entertain them and get them primed for when the doors open again and we all can start playing music to real people.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they're not real when we play digitally, but it's nice to see the audience you're playing for, believe me. And
it helps.
Facebook is it helps a lot. It sure does. Facebook is doing a great thing. I don't know if this is new to them. It's new to me. I just figured it out today. But a lot of musicians are doing performances from their house and all sorts of things. In fact, quite a few with tip jars and things like that. And Facebook has compiled now a Chicago music live calendar. So if you go to music, if you go to Facebook and just look for Chicagoland Musicians Calendar, you can see who's playing today.
Oh.
And see if you want to pick out anything. It's not fine-tuned. I mean, everybody, including Facebook, is fine-tuning. You might have to pull down more than one show today to see who's playing. Somehow, the titles. I was looking on my phone, so it might be better on a computer. So, but the format, you have to pull down the date to see who's playing. But at least they're listing it. So that's a really good thing because there's so many great players out there doing this, and you know, it'd be a waste if people didn't really enjoy themselves.
You know, it's interesting because I was talking to somebody about 3 weeks ago. I was talking to somebody in the industry, and he knows somebody high up, not Mark Zuckerberg, but up in that category at Facebook, and they were caught off guard about how many people started streaming performances because they don't have the same deal with ASCAP and BMI as YouTube does. So they were running into some problems with copyright stuff, especially some of the DJs when they're doing DJ sets, especially. So it's all a learning process, but it's always good to know that even a company like Facebook is caught off guard every once in a while.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned Facebook and the copyright problems with the DJs, because DJs have been actually in the forefront for years of streaming, streaming their performances. And there is I had known you were going to talk about this. I have the name. There are about three or four platforms out there, and I'll have them next week for us, where DJs don't run into the copyright problems. And they're very proactive about working with Facebook and working with everybody to get their, you know, their talent out there. And you know, they definitely know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So
I know livestream.com is one of them because I've been looking into them a lot. So I know they're one, but there's other platforms too, for sure. And they cover in their fee. It's not free, but in their fee, they cover the copyrights, ASCAP, BMI. So they cover all that for musicians, for DJs. So, yep. Yeah, you're right. I didn't even think about that right now, but yep.
And again, I'm apologizing because I only have half information, but there are some very heavy duty DJs that are world renowned DJs, and you know, people like Dre and people like that are actually, if you were to go to Dre's page, I'm sure he lists where he does his live performance, but they're actually doing DJ battles between like these guys that are the absolute top of the DJ field.
Yep.
So, you know, if you're into it, there's a lot of, like I said, they've been doing this a while. They know what they're doing, not like us old guys who are just catching up. You know?
So yeah. What else you got on tap here?
Well, like you said at the head of it, the Blues Fest, DCASE, the Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events for Chicago, is actually doing a great thing. And this was the week that we were supposed to start the whole Year of Music at Chicago with a celebration and three different fests. The House Music Conference, the Gospel Fest, and the Blues Fest was supposed to start basically today. And obviously they were canceled because of the virus. And what they are doing is they are, with YouTube, presenting performances by artists. And tonight is the first night that they're going live. And let me look at my notes. It's the House Music this week.
Mm-hmm.
And who's going first? Lady D, DJ Jess, and Maurice Joshua.
Oh,
I don't
nice.
Know them. I
nice.
Don't...
Yeah. Well, actually, I was in a meeting with Lady D one time over at Epiphany, so that's great.
Great. Yeah, and they've got a great lineup, and then they're going to do the same with Gospel Fest, and that's actually a bigger lineup. And then they are going to do the Blues Fest, and that's where I know everybody. And this is coming around on June 5th, 6 to 8 to 8 p.m., June 6th, 6 to 8, and June 7th, 6 to 8. And a good friend of mine and a good friend of yours, Toronto Canyon, is doing a he's closing it out on the Sunday, but we have Mike Wheeler and Guy King and Melody Angel, John mm-hmm. Primer, Ivy Ford, and Toronto Cannon. So you have six of the bands that we're going to perform. It'd be great if we could have all the bands that we're going to perform at Blues Fest do this, but that would be probably 3 days of...
That'd be a lot of streaming. That would be a lot of streaming.
Yes, that would, but at least we got six of the bands, and they're all great bands.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just... Again, everyone is figuring this out as we go, and it's really great that the city has taken the initiative
yep.
to, you know, do what they have to do to get this, keep it going, mm-hmm. and I really applaud them for that. I mean, you talk to DK some more than I do, that's for sure. You have any insights to this at all, or...
No, I know they've been talking about, I knew they were talking about doing all of this, so I'm glad they finally announced it, and I'm glad they started putting all of this together, and I think that they're talking about maybe doing some other celebrations in the future for some of the other festivals, and also even for Blues Fest, and, you know, the Year of Chicago Music isn't dead, it's just in a virtual state right now, but I know they're going to push it into 2021 as well.
Right.
So I know they're going
right,
to continue
extended,
to have
yeah.
more and more announcements throughout the summer. And from everybody I've been talking to, they're in planning stages on a lot of stuff right now. So it's a lot of exciting stuff, but it's a lot of planning right now. And, you know, right now I'd be in the middle of, you know, not only having 7 nights a week of programming at the Epiphany Center for the Arts, where I'm the director of programming and entertainment, but also we'd be gearing up for Blues Fest as well, because we always have a booth. I'd be doing interviews actually down at the Blues Fest House Gospel this week and next and the week after that for the city. So, I mean, we had all this stuff planned. So, you know,
right.
I'm glad that they can feature some of our buddies
right.
up there on the blues stage and give them a little virtual love at least.
Right. And speak about giving some local love. Last week I talked about Delmark Records, and they, of
mm-hmm.
course, are the iconic 65-year-old, well, actually 67-year-old now, oldest blues and jazz label in the world and largest blues and jazz label in the world. But this week I wanted to touch base a little bit on Alligator Records and Bruce Iglauer. Bruce actually got his start at Delmark Records working for Bob Kester,
yep.
and as along with a couple other people who run record companies. Bob was kind of the mentor for blues and jazz record companies. And I think I mentioned last week, the Blues Music Awards happened at first week of May.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened for Alligator is they really took over. Their artists won pretty much the majority of awards. And I just wanted to mention, you know, the four of the artists that really took it away, if I can take a minute. Christo and Kingfish Ingram is a young guy. He's like 21 years old, and he's just monstrous.
He was gonna play at the Blues Fest this year, I think.
Yes, he was. Yeah, he was. And he's playing. He was gonna play at Heritage Fest and everywhere. I
mean, he's out of Mississippi, right?
Yes, he is. Yeah. He's out of Jackson, Mississippi.
Yeah.
And he is just doing great. He's got a good head on his shoulders for a young guy. This year, he won 5 awards at the BMAs. He won the Album of the Year, the Best Emerging Artist, Contemporary Album of the Year, Contemporary Blues Artist, and the Best Guitarist. And that's some heavy
right
there. You know, for such a young guy and such a new guy on the scene. I mean, he's not brand new, but it's only been a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And then the virtual show was hosted by Shamika Copeland, who is the daughter of Johnny Clyde Copeland, a very major iconic guitarist out of Texas who's no longer with us. But her albums have been produced by people like Dr. John and people like that. She's phenomenal. She was with Alligator for a long time, left but came back because she knew where her home was, and she's a Chicagoan. And she won the Contemporary Blues Female Artist. Rick Estrin, a harmonica player, won for harmonica. And then a good friend of ours, the Nick Moss Band, won 3. Now, Nick Moss has been touring certainly as long as I know him. He was a guitarist with Jimmy Rogers in the early days,
mm-hmm.
where he cut his teeth and learned from the masters, and he played in the quite a few bands with people like Pontot Perkins and Willie Big Eye Smith. But now he's been doing his own thing for quite a few years. He's been up for the Blues Music Award for quite a few years. And last year he won 1 award, but this year he won 3 awards, 1 for Band of the Year, 1 for Song of the Year, and Traditional Album of the Year.
Wow.
So I know that Bruce Iglauer is just happy. I mean, I haven't talked to him since the BMAs, but I know he deserves all the pride he could have and all the happiness he can have, because he's got a great group of people working with him, and mm-hmm. to have that kind of acknowledgement. The BMAs are the Grammys of blues,
yeah.
and it's just, you know, it's a good thing. If you win it, all of a sudden you're a lot more popular in the whole world, and, you know, it's just really great that Chicago took away so many awards.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, you know, and Bruce is a good guy. I mean, I've known Bruce, you know, for years, not as close as you, but I've done business with him and stuff. And I actually interviewed him last year on the, what was it, the Front Porch Stage, when I was doing all the interviews, and because he had a new book that he just put out about himself,
exactly.
which finally he put the book out and told some stories that, you know, everybody would love to hear. So it's a great book to pick up. I can't remember the title of it right now. Maybe you know.
I can't have them all either.
But I know it's up on Alligator Records website. So check that out too, if you want to hear, kind of get the firsthand knowledge and firsthand stories from the guy that started Alligator Records. He was around with all the old guys, man. He's the guy that knew them all.
Well, he started with Hound Dog Taylor.
Yeah.
And that was like a good start. I mean, that's a great way to jump into the pool.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
he really, he knows blues, and he has had a vision for many years. And for him and Delmark, you know, there were a lot of very lean years, and blues is, and I know jazz is the same, is with popularity, it's a very much a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I have both rode that roller coaster for years, but it goes up and down, and it's popularity based. You know, if there's someone out there that catches everybody's attention, then all of a sudden the whole genre picks up again.
Yep.
You know, and you know, it's to see a couple record companies like Alligator and Delmark survive and keep, you know, actually putting out really credible work, it's just great. I mean, a lot of record companies, a lot of very good record companies bit the bullet, you know,
mm-hmm.
You know, it had to completely restructure. Like now all the musicians and the record companies and the promoters and agents and everyone have to restructure what we're doing now. But music is not going to leave. I mean, if there's humans, there's music. So,
well, that's for sure. That's not going anywhere. I'll tell you that. It's just going to be consumed in a little bit different way for the next 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, well, I thank you for putting that date on it. I'm okay with that. You know, 12 to 18 years, I'm not going to be too happy.
Yeah, right,
but,
exactly.
But, you know, musicians and promoters and everyone have to eat, too, and record companies have to eat, too. So I hope the audience realizes that, you know. But everybody loves it too much. Everybody loves, you know, the communities. And yeah, you know, everybody we talk about on this show certainly is putting their skin in the game, so to speak.
All right, so we should preview a little bit. We're not going to announce the guest yet, but next Friday we're actually going to do a dual interview with a very special guest from the blues community, probably from Chicago. We'll announce that later this week, but you and I are going to do an interview together because we're going to kind of dedicate next Friday to a Blues Friday only, and then the week after, June 5th, I'm actually going to be doing a bass summit here on the show with some very, very, very special guests. And we're going to announce that next week on Monday. But June 5th, we're going to do that. And then the following week and beyond, we're going to start doing Fridays. We're going to start doing Fridays and we're going to focus on blues on Fridays, whether it's Chicago or national or international blues artists. And you and I are going to tag team interview them. And should be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Dedicate, you know, it'll be nice to have a whole show dedicated to blues. It's nice to have this format right here. I mean, it's great. Thank you, Mike.
I'm glad you could do it. And we've got to get over and interview Petra and Andy here in a second, but is there anything else we need to wrap up with on your end?
Well, just a question for you that I guess I can ask on the air. Are we going to do the Thursday before the blues?
Good call. We're going to do your hit, the Blues Day. Blues Day through Thursday. No, that doesn't even work. Never mind. Forget I even said it. Yes.
The blues show, the full show on Thursday.
I was trying to do like Blues Day Tuesday. Yeah, that would rhyme, but Blues Day Thursday doesn't do anything for anybody. Yeah. All right, yes.
We'll figure out a hook for it.
Yeah, we got a couple weeks. We got a couple weeks, but yeah. All right, I'm going to let you go.
Well,
I'm
going to bring always Patron a pleasure, in. Man.
No, this was
always
great, and I'm glad we told everybody about the virtual blues stuff, and we'll get those links up and happening when the week that it's going to happen, and we'll make sure everybody knows about that. And I'm sure we'll talk about it a little bit more in depth probably next Friday when we got you on. So
And the artists we have coming on is very excited to come.
Good. Yes, I'm looking forward to being able to announce them. So we will stand by on that. And have a good weekend, and thanks again.
You too.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Have a good holiday.
You too.
All right, Mike. Bye.
Dave Katzman. All right. We've worked out the technical difficulties. Now, we are going to go into the realm of seeing if I can do this, and we're going to see if we bring up Andy Brown and Petra Van Nouse live on the air while we're doing this. And I remember the last time I did this, it didn't work. But I have faith. I know we're going to make this happen. I have a feeling we're going to make this happen. So the fingers are crossed. Every standby. We're going to come in. And my team, they come up. And we, yes! Yes, it worked.
Here we are.
Right. My technology, it's working. Oh, I can take these off now, too. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Doing very good. We ran a little late on the blues hit right after you and I tested the stum I called.
No.
No. Hopefully we'll get all this stuff together next pandemic.
Who's? Okay. Okay.
Okay. Don't be disturbed. Okay. We're not disturbed.
That's it. You got it.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
It took a pandemic.
It took a global pandemic.
You've had lots of practice time. Totally.
Just staring at the wall saying Petra Van Nouse, Petra Van Nouse. You can't see it written down. You have to just.
No.
It's not hard to say Petra Van Nous, but if you see it,
it
gets very confusing. Just saying. Not hard for the lips.
Hold on. Now I've got technical. Hey, there I am. Now I'm back. Okay. I knew it. Okay. I was getting alerts in my comments that they couldn't hear me on air, but I figured out what was going on, and now I'm happening. You guys are happening. And let's talk about this fun time we're having locked in our homes. And now you guys used to playing roughly 7 nights a week. I mean, you guys are constantly playing. I know that you guys are constantly hustling, getting out there, playing all those gigs. And getting happening, and all of a sudden this whole thing just stopped. And I mean, what have you guys been up to? I mean, I know you're doing some virtual concerts, but right when it happened, Petra, correct me if I'm wrong, but you played the gig at Winters right before they closed the whole thing down, right? With the Recession 7, wasn't it?
Yeah, Andy was there too. It was like,
yeah,
that was a tragic night, probably everywhere you went, all around town. It was like, you could just feel it in the air. You knew it was the end, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, we'll see you guys. I remember the last, as the audience too, it was like everybody was starting to feel uncomfortable. It was all dawning on everybody. And I remember what Andy said, like as the final people were clapping, Andy yelled out, "See you at the next pandemic." And that was like... Those words have been ringing in my ears.
Oh my! Well, and none of us thought that this would be going on this long, because I can remember Dave Gemmelo, because I emailed everybody, and Dave Gemmelo emailed me back and said, "Nope, we'll be ready to go March 31st. No problem. The beer's cold, and we're ready to roll. You know, and the beer's still cold, and we can't get rolling yet." So, I mean, what have you guys been up to? I know you guys are doing live performances online, right? I mean, that's pretty much all we can do right now.
I mean, mostly we're just checking the unemployment website, hoping that one day it works and that maybe, you know, we can get a little fundage coming in the, that's kind of crazy. You know, they had, finally, they did get some kind of, they call it pandemic employment assistance, PUA, for the workers, the self-employed people. So 50,000 people in Illinois applied on the first day.
Wow.
That was like a week and a half ago. So that's been, you know, that's. Takes a lot of work to get your documents together and just try to get a little help with that. And then, you know, just teaching lessons. I mean, I've been teaching a lot of online students. You know, I have people that watch me on YouTube for years that would kind of want to get lessons. And because of all the gigs and stuff you were talking about, I was too busy, really. And I just have had a lot of time to do it. So I kept a lot of email addresses of people that had inquired and followed up with them when this went down, and actually been quite busy with that teaching and trying to, you know, like you see with this technology, if, you know, communicate and show tips. And I've had students in Europe and Asia and all over the country. So that's been pretty cool. Yeah. And then we've been doing this live stream every Wednesday. That took a couple of weeks to really get the technology to where we needed it to be in terms of miking the voice and miking the guitar and getting good video and having good upload speed and all these things that we had no idea how it worked. We thought, oh, you just put your, you know, iPhone and hit go and it'll be great, you know. And it's like, no way, you know, if you want to present something that's sounds halfway decent, you have to really, we had to upgrade our modem and we had to, you know, we had lots of different live streaming once a week on Wednesday evenings. And that's been really good too, because people can watch from all over the world, and they have. We've been playing, about 1,000 people watch it every week, and then it stays up there, and you know, another 1,000 people watch it the next.
That's amazing. You guys are getting those numbers.
Yeah.
Well, it's really Andy. I can say it for him, but he had this video that a couple of years ago, maybe actually now 5 years ago. He did a gig at Steve Rashid's, the pre-Whiskey Lounge, when it was back at whatever the heck that place was called. Whiskey Lounge. Yeah,
Whiskey Lounge. Studio 5. Pre-Studio 5. Pre-Studio 5, yeah.
Pre-Studio 5. And, and somehow this video of Andy playing solo guitar went kind of jazz viral, I like to call it. And it has like almost, it's like 2.6 million views, crazily enough.
Wow.
So, yeah, so because of that, Andy has like tons of YouTube subscribers and people around the world. So when we've done these live streams, it's really bizarro, because you're playing, like he's saying, like a 1,000 people watch it. And then the next day, another 1,000 watch it. And some of them are already like 5,000 people have seen it. And it's like the biggest gig of your life, except for you're just like in your basement, like playing to your computer. It's real, but it's
kind of weird.
Yeah.
You guys are like the perfect people to talk to about this, because I've been preaching this on this show since I started it. And what is this, episode 40 now? I've been doing it Monday through Friday. So it's episode 40 ever since I've been locked in my home office here. I have to talk to the world somehow, so here I am. But I've been preaching this because I really think, you know, as horrible as this is and most ridiculous as this is and everything else, and we can't believe that all this happened to us, and this is like the worst industry to be in, the entertainment industry to be in for something like this, because even during the financial crisis in 2008, there was still business. There was still clubs open. There was something happening. But I think that this is forcing musicians to learn technology more than what they ever would have. And they're going to connect with audiences and connect with fans and music fans and casual music fans and hardcore jazz fans or whatever genre they're in. They're going to connect with more and more and more of them. And those people are going to find them. And I think in the long run, the people that are consistently doing it like yourselves, you guys are going to notice that when you finally can get back out into the clubs and start doing stuff, you might have some other opportunities in other cities, in other areas, or some other recording projects that you would never have had if it wasn't for having to learn the technology and doing it consistently for, unfortunately, a couple of months or more, right? I mean, that's really what we're talking about here, and you guys are nailing it.
Well, we're trying. I mean, what's funny about, you know that stuff with me, with this YouTube video, the one in particular, is that it also kind of forced me during this period to kind of explore like YouTube and what does it mean in terms of social media? Because like both known around town as like these social media phobic people that don't do it really Facebook. And I've been trying to tell people for years, like I do social media, it's YouTube. And people would be like, well, but now like it turns out actually it's an interesting platform because, you know, I don't want to get too into like Facebook versus this or, you know, Facebook has you can like or follow a page, and YouTube has the subscribe to the page, which is very similar, which I never really even thought about. But I realized, okay, I have 7,500 YouTube subscribers that over the last few years, I've just put up videos, but never really interacted with them. But all of a sudden I realized, wow, that's like Facebook. Like you can write to them and you can post just yourself talking, or you can post little short clips. And it's a way to, it's just what I'm saying is it's, I realize, wow, I do social media. It's just a little bit different. You know, it's more about just what I like about it is you just like directly access the people and there's no white noise. Like Facebook seems to have a lot of white noise and things. This is just like they subscribe to me and then I just hit them with the music, and then it's a kind of a nice synergy. So, and it's been with this kind of situation, I mean, to have the ability to give them music, our situation is great because we have each other, so we can play. I mean, you can only take so much of one lonely guy playing by himself. We can do it together. And so I don't know, it's helped us try to, I mean, it's been hard because we've thought like maybe this is the time to do Facebook and we're totally insane for not, and everybody's connecting that way. And we definitely feel a little bit disconnected, but this still seems to be a way to like connect. And like you said, for the future, I mean, you know, it's hard to figure it out because like we did it Wednesday and people are like, when are you coming to Tokyo? And when are you coming to Berlin? And it's like,
never.
Give them
the phone number. We're available. Let me check the calendar.
Have your people come.
You know, we're ready to go. We got our passports. They're up. We'll see.
Well, no, that, you know, I think of YouTube. I mean, it's social media, but to me, it's more of an interactive search engine, because you can find things on there. You can learn about stuff. You can do. It's the second largest search engine in the world. But then you can comment and actually get back and forth with the creators, which is what you are now. You're a YouTube creator. You're a YouTube sensation, Andy Brown.
Right.
He is. He's an influencer. It's like Casey Neistat, all these heavy duty YouTubers. Andy Brown. You're going to be you're probably going to get YouTube plaques and medallions sent to you now. I mean, you're going to come raging out into the social media landscape as one of the leading musicians on social media, whether you like it or not.
Well, what's funny though is like Andy never monetized this channel, which I actually think is a good idea because first of all, I hate ads, so screw that. But secondly, I think it's been good because then like people, you know, they just want to. I think it's actually worked in your favor, like because they want to subscribe and, you know.
Well, it's also worked in my favor because I can say like, hey, I never monetized this channel, but actually, right now, if you want to give a little donation, that right. wouldn't be such a bad idea.
Well, no, and knowing a little bit about monetization on YouTube, really, there isn't tons and tons of money on YouTube when you start getting into the hits. But it's the brand deals that you're going to get, Andy. You're probably going to get contacted by Coke, Pepsi, Budweiser.
Well, I mean, the model.
Maybe Shasta.
Tab. But, you know, Schneider has like cases of Tab, but that's another. But I mean, the model with it was always, I didn't monetize it because it was good for business in terms of when people would come to Chicago and they were, you know, maybe played guitar at home and they were businessmen and they had a convention, they would say, oh, this guy's in Chicago, I watch him on YouTube. And so all the time at our gigs, people would come to the Green Mill or to Andy's and they would say, hey, I watch you all the time on YouTube. And, you know, the other musicians would kind of look at me like, what's going on? And I'd be like, yeah, it's a long story. But, you know, that's part of it, too, because that's what's interesting about Facebook. Facebook is where, like, if you get an achievement, then you go on Facebook and you broadcast the achievement. And then that's how everybody learns, oh, you got this achievement. You know, and it's like that's part of the dynamic that, you know, it's the way things work. So with this, it's almost like I probably should broadcast the achievement more. But until now, it seemed to work as a synergy in the sense that it would bring people to my gig. So even if I wasn't, you know, getting money from the channel or getting the thrill of telling everyone, hey, I have all these views, it was good for business. The problem now is that business model is on hold. So that's when it comes like, okay, well, let me look into this and like, how do I give them content and interact with them more? And that's been, like you said, that'll come out of this because I definitely will do this maybe even in 5 years, I'll do it once a month because I have so many people that, you know, even today I gave a lesson to a guy in Milwaukee and he said to me at the beginning of the lesson, I really love this quarantine because I get to hear you now every week before I have to drive down from Milwaukee. And now, you know, so.
And the other cool thing on YouTube that like always in the past, you know, we never did YouTube Live, you just post something to YouTube. But YouTube Live is kind of fun, I think, for people because it does feel like a real experience because of the chat feature. Mm-hmm. So like when we do these Wednesdays, Andy will play an hour of solo guitar and then I'll join in for an hour. But people write in all kinds of requests and they write like comments. And it's kind of distracting in one way because you're like playing. Like I know, especially I can't see the comments because I don't have my glasses. Andy has to read them all and respond. But like it's distracting and yet I think it's kind of cool because it's fun. Like when I'm watching Andy do his solo set, when I'm upstairs and he's in the basement doing it and I see all the comments, it's kind of like everyone being together in a way. It's, you know, certain people on the comments know each other and they're like, hey, so-and-so and how's it going? And Andy, can you play the very thought of you? And you know, and it's like,
right, it's like a
party.
Period. It's a nice. It brings back that interaction of everybody at a club hanging out.
Yeah, it's like a total. It's a digital hangout, a virtual hangout with Petra and Andy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and you know, like what you said. I mean, you know, you were using it, Andy, to get people just aware of you, and then they would hear you, and then they would come to the club. So you're driving business. So you were actually really utilizing the platform the way it should be utilized if you're a live performer. I mean, you know, that's it. I mean, that's the way it is. So now you guys are doing it. So you're doing it every Wednesday night, what, like 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock. And in my YouTube channel is Andy Brown Jazz Guitar. So Andy Brown Jazz Guitar is, you know, you just write that in and you can find my channel. And then, you know, you can click the red subscribe button and you get a little notification when I do something, or you can just, you know, it's every Wednesday at 8 until I get my gig at Andy's back on Wednesdays. Otherwise I'll be in my basement.
Now, Petra, Yeah, Petra, you play with, that's on Wednesday with both of you guys, right?
Yeah, I do the first set, and then she comes down around 9:15 and help, you know, rescues me.
Here's another cool thing about playing in your basement. Like, you can be cooking something while right. you're like, Andy, play a solo piece. You go up and, like, preheat the oven.
Flip the salmon.
Put in a sweet potato. It's done by the time you're done. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
Yeah, you can't really do that at Andy's. I think Chris would frown upon it if you had, like, a hot stove over cooking on the side of the stage there, you know. So Petra, what have you been up to? Because I know Andy's playing guitar and stuff. I mean, you're playing with him. Are you teaching any or doing any virtual lessons or any of that stuff right now?
I haven't been doing any virtual lessons. I've never really done very much teaching. I've always, my obstacle has been that I can play a little piano, but I don't really play enough to feel comfortable to teach somebody, mm-hmm. like to have enough concentration to be able to do that and listen. Yeah. Although I was just thinking about it recently, because I was thinking there's no way you could play piano during a virtual lesson
right,
at this point
right,
anyway. So this is my moment. So if anyone out there would like to be a guinea pig for my teaching studio, I should be actually, I should be paying them to like, let me try on them, but.
let's not get crazy here. Let's not get crazy. Wait a minute. Okay. Hang on a second. We got to jump in here.
Andy says I have like a horrible business sense. So here it goes again.
I'll send you $20 if you let me teach you over the internet. What?
But, I don't know. I've been just busy. I mean, I don't know, just practicing, working on stuff and trying to, you know, contact places that I used to play and checking in.
Yeah, we've
everybody.
Been working. She's been working really hard on trying, you know, get some maybe programs together for some retirement homes or things, you know, that we would do during the day. Like, how could we do this? Could we go in and maybe, you know, talk to Jeremy Kahn was telling me, you know, he does it where you play in the sort of lobby, but they have a closed circuit camera that, you know, so she's, you know, we've been working on that. I mean, all kinds of.
We've played some virtual parties for people too, actually, believe it or not. A few people have contacted us and we've done like anniversary parties. We've done office parties.
Hey, you know what? I mean, that makes a lot of sense because, I mean, you can get the feed, you put it right up on the screen. You guys are performing right over there. And,
yeah, we just do like a YouTube, like you get an unlisted link. And so the people hired us, hey, we're going to have our family from all over the country, you know, and so then this guy sent out the link to everybody and it's unlisted and then at 8, you know, then they can chat with each other.
Same thing, they're chatting with us, they're making requests, but it's their own private concert.
That's a great idea. I mean, that to me is something that, you know, that to me, now that you said that, that to me is something that I think you're going to be able to build off of. And even once you can get back into the clubs and stuff, I mean, if somebody over in England wants to have a cocktail party and they've been watching your YouTube channel, how awesome is that?
Right. I mean, it is interesting. I mean, it's, you wonder how long it's going to go in the sense of like, it seems like, oh, people would like that. I don't know. Like if people can really, once they can go out and if they're in Milwaukee or they're in London, maybe they would rather not be in front of the computer, but they might. I mean, that's, you know, of course, musicians' fear too is like, oh my God, no one's ever going to go to a club. They're just going to watch YouTube. And I mean, I don't, you know, who knows, man.
Well, here's my situation too. I think, and maybe because of the style of jazz we play or something, most of the people that come out to my gigs are a lot older. Mm-hmm. So I've received a lot of emails from them that they have been coming to our things, or a couple who have hired us for virtual parties. They have said, even when things open, I'm not going out.
Right. Yep.
So it's like, I think for right now, this is the only option to have any entertainment, you know, that's something that they, you know, obviously not like television, everything.
They're
else,
a literal captive audience.
Yeah.
Well, no, you're right. I think that's a big thing. I mean, you know, and I'm the director of programming and entertainment over at the Epiphany Center for the Arts. And we were supposed to be open April 30th. And now we're not going to open up until September. And we're going to be very capacity limited over there for our music series, obviously. But that's one of those things we're looking into the streaming things and all that, because I'm a big believer that even if everybody says, oh, everything's fine, if you're in that age group or have a pre-existing condition, you don't feel comfortable going out, why take a chance sometimes? And I think a lot of people are going to think that way. But then if they can sit at home and they can enjoy it in a safe environment, I think people are going to be interested in hiring you guys to do cocktail parties and different things like that, because that makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, it's like, hey, I feel comfortable with these six people coming over to my house because I talk to them a lot and everything. I don't feel comfortable going to a club where I don't know who's going to be there. But let's hire Andy and Patrick to come on in and we can put them up. Because, I mean, I can stream YouTube, Facebook, all that stuff up on my TV. So, I just watch it right up there.
Even my mom has figured out how to do that. So, I mean, anyone can figure this out.
Right.
If she can figure it out. I had to, like, talk her through it for about 45 minutes one day on the phone, but she figured it out.
Yeah, and some of the clubs, I mean, you know, our friends, you know, Paige was from Cincinnati, and I lived there for years.
Too, right?
I mean, they, you know, our friends just last night went back to work there. You know, Ohio's basically opening up a little ahead of here, and but, you know, I mean, this friends of ours played at this really famous hotel, and they said there was five people all night over a 4-hour gig. I mean, you know, it's like, we got to open up. It's like, totally, but it ain't going to be February, no matter what. Like, it's not going to be that. There's going to be, like, you know, five people there. So it's going to be tough. There's going to have to be creative ways. Maybe the clubs can stream while the gig is going on and there's only 10 people or 20 people. I mean, we all get it, you know, the model for all the clubs in town is like pack them in and shoulder to shoulder, and like it ain't gonna be like that, so we'll see. You know,
there doesn't have to be something where you can either go live to a place and pay a certain amount or buy like a streaming subscription or something. Like, and if you get high quality streaming, honestly, that's the other thing that's been crazy, Mike, is I've had so many people say, we, and I hate to say this, people have said to us, we like this better than going to hear you at a club because it's quiet. Because we're like the way, and if you see the way, Andy, we really worked on our YouTube thing to make it pretty good. The quality, the sound quality we got is really good. It's like a recording style quality. We have three cameras going. We have four different screens that we rotate. So it's constantly moving. People have said, I can see you close up. I don't have to be distracted. I can like eat chips on my couch in my sweatpants and I like it better.
I can be in my sweatpants. I like it better.
Yeah, right. Just
I mean, I don't like it better. I'd prefer to be with people, but I could see where I think that we should all the clubs hopefully will get hip. And then one day it should be both.
Right.
Keep both.
Yeah. Well, I'm really, you know, and over at Epiphany, we made a right hand turn. So we're working on a lot of different stuff over there for streaming performances for music. And with my background, as you guys know, I mean, I think that a quality show like you guys are doing with multiple cameras and some interesting content, it turns into something that people would like. They wouldn't watch primetime television. They'd rather watch that. And it makes it a lot more convenient to be able to do that. So, I mean, if two or three nights a week you're able to do that, and then the other nights you're able to go out and perform live, I think it's going to build a different audience. And I think you're going to reach a lot more people. I think that this whole thing has caused everybody in the industry to take a pause and think about, how do we move forward here? We are in the 21st century. And the old business model for the past 50 years was pack everybody into a club shoulder to shoulder, sell drinks and have a performance. You know, now people are consuming everything other ways and in other places. And I think this is the next step. It's a shame that it had to happen because of a pandemic that all of us in the music industry figured it out. But I think you guys are actually doing a great. I mean, it's like you guys are just building perfectly, and the quality is always the key. It's always the quality, and that's what you guys are supplying. So who wouldn't want to watch that?
Yeah, we'll see. Thanks for your nice words, too. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's definitely nobody knows. I mean, it's very scary because the two of us also, we just play basically gigs to make our living, and that's what we've done for 20 years, you know.
And what a living it is.
What a living it is. But I mean, you know, like it's always a little risky. And now you can just sort of, doesn't take a, you know, PhD to figure out like, well, wait a minute. Like right now there's no gigs. And then when there are, like, how's it going to go? I mean, the clubs aren't going to have any people in them. And restaurants can't really even make it when they have like 90% capacity. So what's that? You know, it's pretty deep. I mean, you got to, when you're, it is like necessity is the mother of invention. I mean, it's like, what else are we going to do? I mean, you know, there may be some pandemic unemployment assistance, and that will be great for a few months. And then it may be like, hey, you know, like they're hiring at UPS, you know, it's like, all right, well, I can drive, let's do it. You know, I'm ready. You know, I mean, it's like, we don't, you know, it's like, I don't know. You just find out. We don't have any teaching, you know, I mean, I teach privately, but I don't teach at the universities. You know, she's got a bachelor's from the conservatory in Cincinnati. I'm just a, you know, high school graduate. So, I mean, we're like, it's kind of like the gig, or like, it's a deep situation. So.
But no, we're trying to take it day by day and not panic so far. I mean, so far this has worked out. Like that's, and so far the outpouring of like different people that come to gigs, sending us kind notes and donations and everything else. Like I was ready on day one of this. I was like, I got to find a new job. I got to like start researching other careers. Where am I going to go to school online? What am I interested in that's not this? I mean, I was like racking the brain, you know, calling people in different professions, asking them about their jobs. I mean, I was like ready to just move on. I was this is it.
You had to be that way. You had to be proactive and start thinking that way, because that's the logical way to start looking at things at that point, you know.
But then it seemed like everyone, so many nice things happened to us that then it kind of made me feel like it was a message from somewhere from the universe saying, for right now, at least, this is the right path to take. Stick with this. And as Andy has said, which kind of makes me feel better, he just said, nothing's off the table. You know, for right now, this is good. If in a 6 months, 9 months, 2 years, things look bad, we could reevaluate then. We can go back to our hometown where things are cheaper. We can change careers. We can, you know, there's a myriad of different options. But like for right now, let's not panic. Right. You know what I mean? I'm like prone to like, oh my God, we got to change everything. Yeah.
Well, that's the only way to look at all of this stuff is the way you're looking at it, obviously. And that's the only way, you know, but it, again, I think that this is the kind of time right now that the clubs, the venues, the musicians, artists, everybody in the arts, it's everybody's got to reevaluate what's happening. Because this is the situation, and it's not going to change anytime soon. So I think you guys are starting to carve your niche out and starting to find that little way. And, you know, you're going to be in a much better position when everything does break open. You're going to have even more options, because you're going to have the online stuff. You're going to have all these different little revenue streams potentially happening. And you know, hopefully this never happens again. But I feel like artists always rise to the top out of any tragedy, right? I mean, that's usually what happens. So here we go. Now, I don't know what I'm going to do, because I'm an idiot with a microphone sitting here with a camera who can't run a board. But hey, whatever, right? So, all right. So let's make sure everybody knows what's going on. PetraSings.com and then AndyBrownGuitar.com. And then we're going to send everybody over to Andy Brown Jazz Guitar on YouTube on Wednesday nights at 8:00. And then Petra comes downstairs after she cooks a nice turkey dinner for Andy at 9:15.
Yeah, right.
Now we know what's going on before she comes down, folks. That's the beauty of this whole show. All right. So, guys, thanks so much for jumping on today, man. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us. It's always good to see you, buddy.
No, it's good seeing you guys, and hopefully we'll be able to see you guys actually in person sometime. But I know we're going to tune in, and we're going to check you guys out on Wednesday nights. And as you pop up, and if you decide to do more than Wednesday nights or something, let me know so that we can promote that as well. Because, I mean, if one night goes good, what's better than one? Two and three,
right?
Yeah, and
you know, after the month of May ends, it looks like they're going to let people get together in smaller groups. So, you know, hopefully we can get Joe Policastro and some of our buddy here, and you know, we'll have some jams that we can film, and you know,
in masks,
get to see what we look like with our masks and everything. So that'll be fun.
that's the one thing that is interesting, right? Is because once you can have like maybe groups of, I think they're saying what, 10 or less or something like that, you'll actually be able to do some of these live streams with some other people too, like Joe playing bass or something, which it'll be interesting, and hopefully it just continues to grow so that people can still stay engaged with everyone. So when everybody can go see them out in the clubs and see everybody live, they'll just say, hey, man, we've seen you online so much, we had to come and see you live and in person. This is awesome.
Yeah, I hope so. I think so. I mean, it's going to just take time. I mean, it seems like that's really all. We just have to learn how to be patient and get through this. I, you know, people – I think things will be okay. It's just every once in a while, every once every 100 years, you have to pay some dues, man. That's just how it goes.
Aren't we lucky to be living through this, boy? We'll be able to tell all of our great-great-grandchildren, you know?
I mean, that's, you know, we all philosophize, but I mean, you know, it's good for us probably in the end, because we learn some things about what's important. Like she said, the people that have reached out, the people that we miss seeing, you know, the connections with people, you take it for granted. You're like, I hate commuting, and so sick of my own playing, I don't like it, and it's like, you know what, man, it's just to be able to interact, to be on this rock spinning through space and be able to have this kind of thing, it's precious. So, you know.
Yeah. No, I totally agree, and it's a great way to say it. All right, so keep me posted. Let me know what's happening, and thanks for hanging out tonight, man. I'm sorry I ran a little late on the other guy, but this was fun. It's already 7:05.
It's time for her to start making me that turkey dinner.
Yeah, get going. I got a feeling you're probably going to get hit with something as soon as we get off the phone, but that's all right.
All right. Maybe some veggie chicken McNuggets.
All right. Take care, guys. Thanks for being on.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. That was fun. Well, I'm glad that you all got to witness a good hang there with Petra and Andy. And again, you know, they're dynamite. If you've not heard them perform live, it's fun. And it sounds like they have a really cool stream happening on YouTube. So Andy Brown Jazz Guitar on YouTube. And then, of course, PetraSings.com, AndyBrownGuitar.com. Go visit them. They have merch. They have CDs. They have T-shirts. They have all that good stuff. So, you know, as I always say on this show, to support artists, it always helps if you buy some merchandise, if you can. Buy some recordings, do things like that, because that goes directly to the artist. So it's always good to help them out, especially in this time. And I know that they probably have tip jars and things like that during that Wednesday night show. So be sure to check all of that stuff out. And thanks to Dave Katzman again for being on. I really appreciate that. I'm looking up at the comments. And LBO from Delmark, one of the leaders over there at Delmark Records, commented and shared this out on the Delmark Facebook channel. So I appreciate that. Hi to everybody at the Delmark Facebook channel. I appreciate all of the support. We've worked with Delmark for many years, and we're looking forward to working with them for many, many years to come. So I appreciate all of that. Paul Gerke's in the house, the El Commandor, along with Ann and Kathy Jeffers. I'm not sure if I know who she is, but anyway, she told me that she couldn't hear me, but I'm pretty confident she can now. So hello to everyone out there. Unfortunately, we're all cyber right now. So everybody say hi to everybody that they know whenever they can see somebody and say hi to them. Stay social distant. It's supposed to be beautiful this weekend. Let's not screw it up for everybody. I really want their lakefront to open at some point so I can start running out on the lakefront. So everybody relax, stay social distant, wash your hands. We have got a great lineup next week. I'm going to be announcing that over the weekend. We've got a whole bunch of fun stuff coming up and some surprises as well that we're hoping we can announce on Monday. So stick around for that. I appreciate everyone watching. I appreciate everyone connecting. Of course, as I always say, if you like this show, please tell a friend, tell your neighbor, tell the grandkids. Chicago Music Revealed right here, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. We're going to keep it at 6 p.m. for at least the next couple of weeks. So until next week, until Monday, no, Tuesday, programming note Tuesday, Monday I'm not on. Tuesday, because of Memorial Day. I will see you on Tuesday, 6 p.m. Stay safe. See you then.